قائما على رأس الغلام وهو يفحص برجليه، بل حسين عليه السلام يقول: بعدا لقوم قتلوك.
Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers, to Islamic Pulse's talk show. We're here in the studio talking about the event of Arba'een, this great 40th day after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his companions and his friends. Talking about this great event of Arba'een, with me in the studio is Sheikh Muhammad Hussein. Sheikh Muhammad Hussein, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the talk show.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sayyid, thank you.
So, Sheikh Muhammad Hussein, again, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to come with us and discuss this. Of course, in this this year with the COVID restrictions, we are seeing a different kind of Arba'een pilgrimage. But nonetheless, I believe pilgrims are still going to the city of Karbala in order to commemorate the Arba'een, the 40th day of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And inshallah, you know, Allah willing, as we move forwards, the situation will become better and more pilgrims will be able to go. A few years ago, at the height of the Arba'een movement, which still continues to this day, but at its height, we saw before the coronavirus, you know, situation, we saw that anywhere between 25 to 30 million pilgrims were attending the walk in Karbala for the Arba'een of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So we thought this is kind of a good thing to discuss. Please, let's go ahead and we can start. Bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So Sayyid, with your permission, before we actually enter the topic of the Arba'een as it relates to our madhab, our school of thought, and the procession that takes place in Karbala, with your permission, I'd like to go back a few steps and
sure.
kind of speak about Arba'een, the word, what does it mean, so that the viewers who may not really understand why Arba'een, we can try to connect it for them.
Right, sure.
Arba'een and how it connects to the event that takes place in Karbala. So first of all, the number 40 has a lot of significance in religion, not just in the Islamic religion, but all of the Abrahamic religions, even in the Bible, they spoke about if you do something for 40 days.
And now, I'm sorry, but 40 is because Arba'een, the word Arba'een yes. means 40.
Right, right.
Okay, continue.
So Arba'een means 40.
Yes,
so we're
yes.
speaking about the number 40.
Right.
Okay, so as I said, the word, the number 40 has been mentioned in the Bible, in the Holy Quran. وَإِذْ وَعَدْنَا مُوسَىٰ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً So we promised Prophet Musa for 40 nights.
Right.
So these words, or the word 40, there's a spiritual meaning behind it. Okay? So why 40? If we look in modern times, psychologists and psychiatrists, they say that if you do something for 40 days, it becomes a habit. Okay? You do something consecutively for 40 days, it sticks with you, it becomes a habit. So right. this word 40, it has a spiritual effect on the body, it has a mental effect on a person. And also in other cultures outside of Islam, when someone dies, usually friends and family and relatives of that deceased person, they would mourn the deceased for 40 days.
Interesting.
In an act of support for the person who passed away, to show the family members that they are not alone, that they have people with them who are supportive of them. And this is a tradition that you see in many cultures where mourning continues for 40 days. And this is also part of the Islamic culture where we mourn the deceased for 40 days. Okay? Yes. Now, how do we bring this culture and this practice into the event that takes place in Karbala? So, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he died, the narrations tell us that the companion of his grandfather, his name is Jabir, he went back to Karbala, coincidentally or not, he went back to Karbala after 40 days.
Right.
So this, him coming back to visit the martyrs and the shuhada, this has been inculcated into our practices and people, they try to go back to Karbala every year as an act of remembrance. Now, someone may ask, Said, okay, why do I have to go physically to Karbala? Can I just recite the ziyarat at my home?
Right.
But no, there's a meaning in the numbers. There's a message that is told. When we see the millions, as you said, 25, 30 million people coming out in the most peaceful gathering.
Yes.
I would like to stress this as well. It's the most peaceful gathering
yes.
that you don't see on the mainstream media.
Right.
They don't promote this. This should be in the Guinness World Book of Records.
Right.
The amount of people that go to Karbala. And our stance is strengthened.
Right.
Not just for Imam Hussein, but in the face of oppression, in the face of tyranny, in the face of our brothers that are Muslim.
Yeah,
when we come out in our numbers, we send a message to Israel. We send a message to America. We send a message to Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Saying that we are firm in our stance.
Yes.
We will not back down. So this is also part of the processions that take place in Karbala 40 days after the day of Ashura. And as you said, unfortunately, for the past few years, due to the COVID restrictions, we have been unable to go to Karbala to visit Imam Hussein for Arba'in. But inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pretty soon, I think this year, they have opened the borders. And we will be returning, inshallah, to visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Inshallah. And, you know, and I think just perhaps looking a little bit into the future, but if we had 25, 30 million people before COVID restrictions, when these COVID restrictions, they are removed, because they will be removed, right? Inshallah, as we said. As soon as these COVID restrictions are removed, then we're going to see a huge surge. Inshallah, it'll be more than 30, 35 million people who will attend these first open Arba'eens by the will and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You brought up this interesting point about the mainstream media. And I noticed this as well, that so the Arba'een procession and the walk also, this was a phenomenon or this great event which was increasing in numbers every single year. So the first year, maybe it was like, you know, I don't know, 18, 19 million. Then it went 22 million. Then it went 25 million. Then, you know, then estimated up to 30 million people. Because eventually, you know, you really can't keep track of 25 million plus people, you know. But despite this huge number of people showing up in support of the mission and the memory of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we find that the mainstream media barely covered it, if covered it at all. And when it was covered, I remember in certain instances, it tried to cover it as a sectarian issue, you know, Sunni versus Shia, and it's just specifically a Shia thing, or it's a political thing, or these kind of weird statements. I mean, why do you think that is? Why do you think that the mainstream media really tried their best to subdue the voice of 25 million people?
Right, so Syed, before I answer that question, I would like to reinforce the point that the gathering or the procession towards Karbala, towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is not just a procession that is done by the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. In that procession, we find they are brothers of Ahlul Sunnah, we find they are Christians, we find they are Hindus. You can find almost any denomination that goes towards Karbala and towards the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because as a human being, as a person who believes in one God, for instance, you can find so many lessons and so many things that you can derive in your personal life with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And people, they understand this. So they make that march as well towards Karbala.
Right.
Now to answer your question, why doesn't the media, you know, promote this? Because obviously the mainstream media that is being funded by the Zionists, that are being funded by the enemies of Islam, they would definitely not want to promote an event like this. Because, as I said before, it's millions of people that are walking in a peaceful march. It's no violence. You know, the Iraqi authorities, they try their best to keep the place safe. There's no terrorism for the past few years. And also, on the way to Karbala, for those that have been there, you see these mokibs, where, you know, food and drink are being given to millions of people for free.
Right.
Now, where else in the world, Said?
Right.
Where we come from in the West, everything you have to pay for.
Yes.
But you come here on a march that is how many miles long, and anywhere along the road, you can acquire food and drink for no cost,
yes.
Free. Now, this is something that will make people wonder if this religion, where people believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, can show this sort of courtesy to strangers. Because these people that are giving, they do it for the love of Imam Hussein.
Yeah.
They do it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people can see, okay, they are doing all of this khidmat and this service to people that they don't even know, then what kind of creator do they have? What kind of prophet do they have? And it will make people want to be more inquisitive and want to inquire about the religion of Islam, about the school of Shiaism. And it's a sort of thing that will attract them, Said, attract them to our religion. And the enemies, as I said, they do not want this. They do not want people to know about the good things of our religion. They just want to promote the negative and say, okay, this is a sort of Daesh, ISIS type of religion. But when they see this, they would question, they would say, no, this is not the way that the media portrays it. So definitely they work and spend a lot of money to hide the fact and hide the truth about our school of thought.
Yeah, it's very interesting, right? One of the dynamics of a talk show is that points come out of points, and it's quite dynamic and energetic, and it's quite fruitful, right? So here you talked about all of these hosts of these millions of pilgrims of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This host is doing so out of the love of Imam Hussein, right? Out of this ishq.
Right.
As it is said, I believe in Persian,
right?
And then now, ishq itself is something that is difficult to translate or define, but it's a very profound, deep kind of love where you sacrifice yourself for the beloved. Anyways, for a simple translation. These hosts are doing this out of the love of Imam Hussein, and likewise the pilgrim is going and going through trials and tribulations and hardships and pain and, you know, all of these things, again, out of love for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So what I'm trying to go for here is the keyword love.
Right.
I would really challenge the other faiths of the world who proclaim to be the standard bearers of love. Right? Do you have anything that compares to this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you have a relatively small number of hosts who, out of the love of a religious spiritual figure, right, are giving food and drink and lodging to 25 million people, and likewise 25 million people from every corner of the world, out of love for this religious and spiritual figure, has gone to a foreign land. They don't speak the language,
right?
They don't necessarily know the customs. They have no, really means for food and drink. Really, they're going at the behest of the host, right? This manifestation of love, I challenge any faith in the world to show us this kind of manifestation of love.
Yes. So Said, just to expand on your point, it's really love that is the key word here, because within these 25 million people, we find so many people from different walks of life. So you have the rich, the poor, the middle class, you have CEOs, you have bank managers, you have presidents of this organization, that organization,
right.
And they all come together on this path, which is usually from Najaf to Karbala. And this path, it's not necessarily an easy walk,
right?
For those that have experienced it before. Usually it's hot depending on the time of the year that you go, and in the night it's really cold.
Right.
And it's not like there are luxurious hotels on the way to Karbala. Maybe when you reach there, you have your accommodation, but on the way, they are just these, what they call mokibs,
yes.
Or like these tents that the people that are doing the service, as we spoke about, they provide this as well for people to rest and sleep. But everyone is under the same umbrella, whether you're rich, you're poor, you're middle class. You go through that difficulties, and it's all because, as you said, for the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Right.
And you even see some people there walking, doing the pilgrimage, the ziyarat, bare feet. Okay, this is also, I think, one of the sunnahs where you walk barefooted towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And people, they endure this type of pain side. And it's all due to love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and love for the Ahlul Bayt.
You know what's really interesting here? So, for example, people who like to, well, I'll leave that part out. So we can compare this to the Hajj, for example. So this Hajj is this pilgrimage to the Holy House of Allah, right? The Mighty, the Exalted, where people from all across the world go, right? But unfortunately, the Hajj, it doesn't have these kind of spiritual, flavors as the Arba'in pilgrimage does. So for example, I know it's something perhaps a little bit strange. The Hajj has become very dunya-like, right? You stay in these incredibly fancy hotels. There's no concept of, that simplicity, which was the purpose of Hajj, okay? The purpose of Hajj was to detach yourself from the world. If you go look at some of these hotels that the Saudi officials have built, I mean, it's like a multi-million dollar hotel, if not more than that.
Right.
So what I was trying to say originally is that because of the administration of the Hajj, it has been turned into a very lavish thing, right? So for example, a relatively poor person can no longer go to Hajj. And it's supposed to be for the poor. It's supposed to be for the poor, for the rich, for everybody. But you will see that, for example, the poor or the middle class, it is very expensive to go to Hajj.
Right.
And here you look at Arba'in is not very expensive to go to.
Right.
And people live in these makeshift tents, and they live in these difficult conditions, and they detach themselves from the world in a way that that has been robbed from the Hajj by the so-called custodians of the two holy mosques. I don't know if you want to comment, that's fine. If you don't,
yes, definitely. I myself personally have not been to Hajj, but I think you have been, so you
it gives went you to Hajj.
Exactly.
Yes.
So it gives you the liberty to speak about this. But from what I've seen, yes, definitely, the Hajj has become really commercial.
Commercial, that's the word I was looking
exactly,
for.
Exactly, a sort of money-making venture.
Yeah.
Although it is, it's wajib enough if we can afford it to make the pilgrimage to Hajj, but unfortunately, the custodians of the Holy House of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are in the wrong hands currently.
Awesome. Yes.
But going back to the Arba'in pilgrimage, as you said, it's not as expensive to go to Hajj. It brought back some memories of when we went to Arba'in, where for some people it's totally free.
Right.
What I mean is on the way, we saw some kids, they were walking, making the journey. And these kids just had on some slippers, maybe like pants, jersey, and nothing else, no bags, nothing. They had no money, nothing. So we stopped and we asked them, where are you guys coming from? And they said that they started walking from Basra to Najaf, and then they're going to walk from Najaf to Karbala. But they had the intention, and they knew that along the way, they would be provided by these people that do service, that give the food. So they were just going because of the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And it was really fascinating because it was the first time that we've been to Iraq, and to see kids just walking with nothing was really amazing.
Yes.
And it went to show that when you have that love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you, Imam Hussein alayhi salam will provide for you because you are his guest.
Yes.
And they were just, having fun. It was really amazing because I think that time we booked a hotel because we weren't sure what was the logistics and the dynamics in Karbala.
Right.
But when we saw that, we felt really a bit ashamed that we spent that money to go to a hotel and stuff. And we could have gone there with nothing or bare minimum.
Right.
And I think the next year we went with our madrasa, and it was just like that. We got... You actually experience the flavor, as you said, of Arba'in when you do it that way.
Right.
If you speak to anyone, and I could put my head on a block for this side, those that went with the tours and the luxury hotels, and you ask them if they ever went the other way where they stay in the mokibs and stuff like this, they would tell you that the experience is totally different, and they prefer that one.
Right.
That you get the spiritual taste and the feeling when you go that way. Yes, it's a bit more difficult, but when you go back, you really you understand what took place and you understand what you did. And everyone you speak to as well, Said, they tell you that they wish that they can go back to Arba'in. They wish they can do it again.
Right.
You know, so inshallah, we hope that we can go back again ourselves. And people that are our viewers that are willing to come back to Arba'in, inshallah, we pray for them as well that they make the journey someday again.
Inshallah. And you put it much more eloquently than I had started to bring everything together. But so, for example, if this kid from Basra, and from Basra to Najaf is a long way, from Najaf to Karbala is also a long way, and then this guy has to go back, right, to Basra, and he's got nothing, right? And so, and this is what I was trying to say there, was that for the custodians of the two holy mosques, right, you have so much money. Mm-hmm. And despite that, you don't see that. You don't. Why can the Hajj not be open to everybody? Why can the Hajj not offer, right? And it's not the Hajj itself. It's the people that are the custodians of the Hajj.
Right.
You know? So why are these custodians not making it readily, you know, not making it easy for people to be able to go? Not opening it up to millions of people?
Right.
Why is it that in Karbala, in Arba'in, you have 25 million people showing up, but for example, to the Hajj, they don't want more than 2-3 million people to show up,
mm-hmm.
right? Or everything is insanely expensive.
Right.
You know, why are you not handing food out for free to the pilgrims of the house of Allah? You know, why are you not giving free accommodation, you know, to the extent that you can, to the pilgrims of the house of Allah? You know, and I think this is serious questions that the Muslims need to ask themselves. As you said, in whose hands is the holy mosque of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and in whose hands is the holy sanctuary of the Kaaba? Coming back to Arba'in, I don't know if with the time that we have left, if you would like to add something, Sheikh Muhammad Hussain.
Yeah, so I would just like to expand on the point that you said, speaking about the custodians of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that brings us back a couple of years when there was an incident in Saudi Arabia where there was one of the pillars, I don't know if you remember, Sayyid, one of the pillars fell on the pilgrims and some people died, and it was a total mess. And the people that organized the Hajj, I guess they would have felt terrible about this event, that people died making this holy pilgrimage. Whereas, when you look at the Arba'in pilgrimage, there was no such event, and the amount of people is probably 10 times the amount that went to Hajj on that occasion. So I think Arba'in, it really sets the standard of what a pilgrimage is supposed to be, of what a holy event supposed to be, and these people that are hosting it, they really do a good job, and they go out of their way in the planning and the execution of this event. And I think those that are planning the Hajj, they should probably consult with these guys or these brothers that are planning the Arba'in pilgrimage.
Or even hand over the management.
Or even hand over the management, because they do such a good job.
Yeah.
But handing over the management, I don't know, maybe they may feel shame in doing this, but they could consult them, ask them what is their secret. How do they accommodate so many people? Because obviously this is not an easy task.
Right.
But as you said, Said, no, it's gotten unfortunately really commercial, and things are really expensive. And it's unfortunate for the pilgrims and those that really want to go to Hajj.
Yes.
That maybe in their lifetime they may not be able to afford this that is recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to, you know, make it easy for us and for those that have a pure intention of making the Hajj pilgrimage. But in the meantime, we can recommend,
yes,
going the other route that may be more affordable,
right,
and will also bring that spiritual vibration and that,
yes,
that spiritual attachment in someone, which is Arba'in. And just to add to this, there's a narration from our 11th Imam Askari alayhi salam, when he says one of the signs of a believer, it's when you recite the Ziyarat Arba'in.
Right.
So, you know, we look at these hadiths and these narrations, and we understand the importance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, of visiting the shrine in these days of Arba'in. And we just pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep all of the pilgrims safe. Because so far it has been safe.
Yes.
But the enemies, they are trying, obviously, yes, to destroy this. And they will do whatever they can in their power to make it, you know, destroyed and end and have innocent people get killed, unfortunately.
So, Sheikh Mohammed Hussain, thank you so much, you know, for taking time out again and joining us on the talk show. It's very interesting. I think we kind of came to this conclusion that Arba'een is like the metaphorical Hajj for the poor and the downtrodden of the world. Inshallah, may Allah, as you also prayed, may Allah protect all of the pilgrims who are going to the Arba'een pilgrimage this year. And inshallah, may this pilgrimage continue to grow as these restrictions start to lessen. Again, thank you. May Allah bless you. And dear viewers, thank you for joining us on the talk show. If any of you are honored and blessed to be able to be going on the Ziyarat of Arba'een, on this walk to Arba'een, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and may Allah protect every single one of you. And fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.